Loudoun County, Virginia, has been ground zero in a lot of the controversies related to what is being taught in the schools. And now there's an alleged incident from May 28 where a transgender boy, that is a boy who identifies as a girl, actually went into a girl's bathroom and assaulted a girl. We're going to talk about this right now, and also just the big issue in general of, are the parents the ones in charge of their children's education, or is it the school boards and the school administrators and the unions, etc.? Our guest is Ryan Baumberger, who's written an article for Christian Post on this. Big education has zero tolerance for informed and involved parents. I'm Jerry Newcomb. This is Vocal Point. And Ryan, thanks so much for joining us on the program.
Hey, it's good to be here with you.
Okay, go ahead and tell us about this story, and then we'll unpack the deeper issues, you know, in terms of the basically the parents versus the schools.
Well, that's what is being created, and it's actually unbelievable to me, because here you have students at these schools, which LCPS, which is Loudoun County Public Schools, a little over 80,000 students. They're only there because of the parents, but yet parents are the most marginalized in this whole equation. And so you have a school board that has no interest in, one, abiding by the Constitution and implementing these dangerous policies that actually sever the parent-child relationship to the point where they act like they are the experts on all issues and that parents have no say. And as a Loudoun County parent, I definitely feel like I should have a say, as do many, many other Loudoun County parents. And we're the ones who outnumber the other side every single school board meeting.
Have you been to some of those meetings, the school board meetings?
Oh, yes, I have. I've spoken at several of them, and I've watched the insanity that has become the discourse between parents and school boards. And the insanity is not on the part of the parents. The insanity is on the part of the school boards with their arrogance. And for instance, mainstream media has depicted these meetings as rowdy and they erupted in chaos. What they actually mean is that in our meetings, we're not allowed to clap. You can only do jazz hands. So it was the clapping that they're saying was the chaos and was the rowdiness.
What are
this
jazz
is how
hands?
Crazy it's all become.
What are jazz hands?
Oh, well.
Like pantomiming?
When you lift both hands in the air and you wave them, it's such...
Oh, wow.
They don't want to be triggered, I guess, by the sound of clapping, by the affirmation of people who are speaking truth to a school board that doesn't want to hear it.
Would you say that some of the key issues would be, of course, the transgender agenda, but also historical revisionism and critical race theory? And by the way, you're black, and you are one who is very strong in the pro-life movement. You yourself were a product of rape. You've explained all this in a previous broadcast, and you're very bold, and we appreciate that in your pro-life stance. But what would you say are the big issues, the bones of contention between the school board and the parents?
I think the biggest issue is that the school board believes that its role is to recondition our children, that its role is to basically form them into political activists. And the way that they're doing this is by passing policies that are in direct contradiction with the First Amendment, free speech and religious liberty. And so they're passing these policies, for instance, where they're demanding that you use certain words, that you demanding that you use certain pronouns, which and in many cases, the pronouns are just made up words. They don't even exist. Also, critical race theory, which actually envelops all of this, because critical race theory, as we're told by advocates of it, if you don't embrace the racial part of it and the pro-feminist part of it and the pro-LGBT part of it, then you're not truly an anti-racist. But it is, you know, these policies, for instance, they have what are called equity ambassadors at LCPS. Equity ambassadors are students who will report on language that is triggering or aggressive,
and
you can only be a non-white person in order to be an equity ambassador. I mean, that's racist in and of itself. So what's putting this wedge between the school board and parents is what parents like me see as dividing our children, indoctrinating our children, and failing to do what they're actually there to do, and that is to educate them on the basics.
So these equity ambassadors are like little spies in the school.
Yes, exactly. And it's such a heinous concept. That why are they spending so much time pitting people against each other? And that's what they're doing. Not just child against child in the school, child against parent, teachers against students, and students against teachers. One of my friends, Tanner Cross, was the individual who said that he loves students too much to lie to them to say that a boy is a girl and a girl is a boy. And what did the LCPS do? They fired him. He got reinstated by a judge, and they tried to take it to the Virginia Supreme Court, where they were slapped down. And the Virginia Supreme Court said, you're violating his First Amendment rights. He's allowed to speak freely on your policies.
Wow. All right, now let me ask you this, since I'm sure history is a part of this, American history. We live at a time, Ryan, where George Washington used to be a hero. Thomas Jefferson used to be a hero. And even Abraham Lincoln. Now, a lot of these people are becoming anti-heroes based on what's being taught in the public schools. Is that an issue here in this particular situation?
Oh, yes, because it's all part of the same lie. It's all part of the same broken worldview that is predicated on the brokenness of critical race theory that demands everything be seen through the broken prism of race, which is not a biblical concept whatsoever. In fact, the Bible points out something very different. Acts 17:26, we're all one blood. As someone who was adopted into a very diverse family of 15, of white and black, Native American, Vietnamese, I'm mixed myself. I reject this whole nonsense of the historical revisionism. And somehow the thought that some of our founding fathers and mothers were perfect, they weren't. And we need to talk honestly about their moral failings, absolutely. But who are you going to actually uphold? I mean, even if you had W.E.B. Du Bois, who was the co-founder of the NAACP, which originally was a great organization, a once great civil rights organization that I no longer support. But W.B. Du Bois also was kicked out of the NAACP for his pro-segregationist stand. He ended up renouncing his U.S. citizenship, became a communist, praised Mao, praised Stalin. I mean, whose statue gets to remain anymore?
Wow.
So, I mean, what even renamed, you know, they're renaming schools, they're going to rename streets, you're going to rename buildings, you're going to rename Washington, D.C.? When does that end? Pretending that history didn't happen is not the solution. Speaking honestly about it absolutely is part of what's actually been going on for a long time. But their historical revision, like the 1619 Project, that is just, that's fantasy. It's not even accurate history. And it's always trying to drive a wedge between people based on the color of their skin. You and know, that's wrong every single time.
Yeah. What's so interesting, too, is if everybody, you know, that they made a statue to, if they all had to be perfect, you know, then everybody fails. And yet the only perfect human being who ever lived was Jesus Christ. And just a couple weeks ago in Miami, they decapitated a statue of Jesus. So it's crazy what's going on.
Well, it is. And here's the thing. It's critical race theory and so much of the, you know, Black Lives Matter movement, it's always talking about these, you know, two groups, the oppressed and the oppressors. And here's the thing. Christ on the cross, before he said it is finished, he actually said, you know, forgive them, Father, they know not what they do. Talking about the Roman soldiers who were, you know, I guess gambling or something for his clothing, and the religious leaders who were mocking him, the people who are shouting, you know, crucify him. He actually ask for forgiveness for his actual oppressors. He died for his actual oppressors. And yet we live in this society today that somehow wants to put us in these two groups and constantly demand of one particular group, those who are white, for this perpetual atonement, that they have perpetual guilt. That is so unbiblical on so many levels. It is not representative of Christ whatsoever. And so that's why, you know, our organization, the Radiance Foundation, always touts Christ before color. Well, Christ before anything. Yeah. Really, that's really the foundational part of what we do. Christ before anything.
Amen.
It should inform. And, you know, instead of looking at the world through the broken prism of race, we should look at the world through the breakthrough filter of Christ.
Well put. Okay, let's focus a little bit on the transgender agenda. First, explain it itself, and then I want to ask you about these two alleged incidents involving the same guy. Or I could be committing a hate crime by calling him a guy, but basically he's a boy who now relates as a girl. But anyway, go on.
Well, this is part, and people hate when people bring up George Orwell, but when you talk about You talk about the clarity of communication, the precision of language. It's important. The transgender movement, part of the LGBT, you know, lesbian, gay, bisexual, transgender, now it's Q for queer, and then it's plus because it's the acronym that never ends. And I say that not mockingly, because my heart is broken for those who are confused and are broken in that way. But the transgender movement, I mean, once a super, super, super fringe part of the gay rights movement, is now actually leading it, which is why it's interesting to see even gay activists who are saying, wait a minute, this is too far. I mean, here you've got lesbian feminists, for instance, who are saying, wait a minute, stop erasing women. Don't pretend that my pronoun isn't she. Do not erase me. And so I've been in events and on panels with those who are, you know, gay activists who are actually trying to challenge this. So the transgender movement has taken over. And what it is it's really a confusion of our core identity. We're at the point where we can't even say the essence of who we are as human beings, a male and a female. And this is now infecting like a cancer every aspect of our society, even our churches that have bowed, thinking they're being compassionate, but they're just actually capitulating. And so in our schools, you have all this gender confusion and gender fluidity and gender spectrum. And that's where LCPS, the school system where I live, has been forcing the transgender agenda by redefining, you know, who we are as individuals, redefining our sexuality. And it poses a serious danger to our children.
We have about 3 minutes left. What happened on May 28th?
Well, the school board meets and supposedly wants to hear, you know, the public's opinion, but they really don't want to hear the public's opinion. But here you've got a situation where they're pushing the transgender policy, and they've pushed this so far to the point where you've got a student who was attacked, a girl who was attacked at LCPS, one of the high schools here, attacked by a boy who's gender fluid or who is transgender. Even at this meeting, while they're saying there has been no report of any kind of situation, knowing full well that that happened, the girl was sexually assaulted. She was raped. And the gentleman, Scott Smith, the father, went to one of the school board meetings, and I was at the same meeting, and he ended up getting arrested because he was reacting to another woman saying that he was just making up the story. Oh. But it's all very documented. The sheriff's office obviously has a record of all of it, and now it's coming out that LCPS was hiding this horrific assault. And what they did is they moved that boy from one high school to another high school, and he harmed another girl, assaulted another girl. This is why parents are fed up with what I consider school boards gone wild. They are putting students in jeopardy in order to fulfill a political agenda, and parents are fed up with it, and they're done with it, and that's why they are now fully informed and fully involved. And I encourage parents to do that wherever you are from coast to coast. Don't allow these school boards to reach your children with broken worldviews.
Okay, we have about 40 seconds left. Ultimately, the question is, who is responsible for the education of the children, the schools or the parents?
The parents primarily. The parents are the first educators. The parents are the first influencers. The parents are the ones who make the decisions as to where their child and how their child will be educated, which is why, you know, the Raidens Foundation, we're huge proponents of school choice. But yet the, you know, big education doesn't like that because it takes the locus of control out of their hands and puts it in the hands of parents. And that's exactly where it needs to be. These government-run schools I'm not, you know, co-educating with the government. I need to have a say in what happens and what fills the mind of my child at a taxpayer-funded school.
Absolutely.
And I think millions of parents across the nation believe the same thing.
I agree. What is your website?
Radiance.life.
Radiance.life. Ryan Bomberger, thanks so much for being with us. All the best.
Thanks, Jerry.